This is Bill Lawson with an audio recording of the sermon preached at Bryansburg United Methodist Church on January 14th, 2024. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. Angels coming and going. Today is Human Relations Day in the United Methodist Church, and tomorrow is the national observance of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Human Relations Day is celebrated annually across our denomination on the Sunday before the King's observance. The United Methodist Church website says, quote, "Human Relations Day calls United Methodists to recognize the right of all God's children in realizing their potential as human beings in relationship with one another." Similarly, our mission statement here at Bryansburg United Methodist Church is helping each other serve to our full potential. Just think how the world would be if everyone could feel the love and friendship, the mutual respect and supportiveness, and the sense of community we share in this room today. Many communities around the world already do feel this way about each other, and they do extend this love into all their other relationships. But there are still many others who feel differently and extend their animosities into all their relationships. Part of our work as believers in the teachings and example of Jesus is to overcome their hostility with our love, with God's love. St. John framed it metaphorically at the beginning of his gospel in the Good News translation, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had never put it out." I'd like to share this from the King Center website. Martin Luther King Jr. described the beloved community as a society where caring and compassion drive political policies that support the worldwide elimination of poverty and hunger in all forms of bigotry and violence. At its core, the beloved community is an engine of reconciliation. There is a lot of angelic activity going on all around us. In our gospel reading today, we heard Jesus tell Nathanael, how about you? "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The presence of angels among us is one of the most ecumenical beliefs shared by humans. Not as ecumenical as prayer, not even close to that, but like prayer, most people give each other a lot of latitude. The word translated angel throughout the New Testament and similarly throughout the Old Testament is defined by the lexicon as a messenger, an envoy, one who is sent, a messenger from God. The term angel in the Bible refers chiefly to incorporeal spirits who at times take human form, but is also generally used by people of various religious persuasions in reference to other people who take on the helpful, supportive nature associated with angels. We're used to hearing about the angels associated with the nativity stories. They also figure prominently in the Genesis legends. Usually the Bible stories tell about angels who have been sent to people. But in Revelation, John was instructed in his vision to write letters to each of the angels of the seven churches. In a similar spirit to seeing Christ in others, Hebrews reminds us to, quote, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Gene's favorite verse. Jesus alluded to a story that was very familiar to Nathanael, as it is to most Christians, and has been part of our current Wednesday online Bible discussions. It is the story we just sang about, the story of Jacob's ladder. While Jacob was traveling one night, he slept on the ground with a stone for his pillow. As he slept, he had a vision of a ladder stretching from the earth to heaven. Angels were ascending and descending on the ladder. As the dream continued, God spoke to Jacob and promised to grant the land where he was sleeping to Jacob and his posterity. On waking, Jacob remarked, "Surely the Lord is in this place." There are no reports of Nathanael or anyone else seeing such a vision in the New Testament. Jesus used the legend of Jacob's ladder as an allegory for the angelic nature of everything he and his followers would be doing hereafter, as it says in the King James Version. The mission of Christ and the church continues to this hour. So we are included in the hereafter of that allegory. Think of all the wonderful things God is empowering people to do in the world today. In the midst of all the challenges and heartaches of life, people are stepping up from every day in ways that blur the lines between literal and figurative angels. We are invited to listen to what God is communicating. In our reading from 1 Samuel today, in chapter 3, verse 10 said, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Nancy Varden, our district superintendent, opened our clergy meeting this week with a quote from Psalm 95. "Today, if you will hear God's voice, harden not your heart." As she repeated this quote several times, I was struck by the conditional nature of the invitation.
If you will, and if you do hear God's voice, then harden not your heart. So as she spoke, I felt myself making that commitment, that if I were to hear God's voice that day, I would not harden my heart. I can't say that I did hear God's voice that day, but then I can't really say that I didn't either. Throughout the morning of fellowship with the other clergy of our district, our conversations and sharing of the sacrament together, I do feel I received several distinct impressions that are still working their way through my somewhat receptive / somewhat obstinate heart. So whether I did or whether I didn't, I do seem to have been hearing it. And to at least some degree, I might be able to say with Samuel in the New Revised Standard Version, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God knows us thoroughly and loves us completely. In our reading from Psalm, where we open the service, as Jerry led us this morning in a responsive reading in chapter 139, verse 3, it says, "Thou compassest my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God is all around us, within us and among us. God knows all about us and loves us, not just in spite of who we are, but because of who we are. One of the key characteristics Jesus attributed to Nathanael in today's gospel reading was his honesty. He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." As the psalmist points out, God is well acquainted with all our ways, for better or for worse. Jesus told Nicodemus that he did not come, quote, "into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God loves us and everyone else unconditionally and expects us to reflect that universal love in all our relationships. We are invited to constant self-examination and renewal. We can trust God enough to be honest with ourselves in God's presence, knowing that God already is well aware of who we are, and perhaps even more so than we are of ourselves. The point of confession is not humiliation, but redemption. We can discover within ourselves where we can make improvements so that we can be happier and that we can be more of a blessing to others. Every person is a sacred place. What? That's how Paul puts it in the King James Version, what we read from what was read this morning from 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Even though this verse is part of a passage warning against promiscuity, the idea of the body and of our lives separately and collectively as a temple is a recurring theme in Paul's letters in a variety of other contexts. The same theme is consistent with Jesus' perspective when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Some thought he meant the stone building in Jerusalem, but the Bible explains he spake of the temple of his body. Some people, maybe a lot of people actually, think Jesus called his body a temple because he was God's son, and that Christians should probably think only of themselves as temples of the Holy Spirit. And of course, with whatever stipulations their particular opinions impose on that. But that is far too narrow of a view. Every person is a temple of God's Spirit. According to the creation narratives at the beginning of the Bible, we are all created in the image and animated by the breath, that is the Spirit of our Creator. We cannot fully perceive ourselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit apart from seeing each other and everyone else as the temple of God. This is another of those ideas like prayer and angels that it would be good for everyone to give each other latitude on. The concept is not limited to Christianity. Many other world religions also illuminate the sense of every human body as a temple, as a sanctuary. Just think, even if all our different beliefs and practices, even with all of that, our different cultures and lifestyles, how the world would be if everyone, everywhere, could all see each other as a sacred shrine. Human Relations Day emphasizes the value and potential of every human being. Jesus did that. Be like Jesus. In his allegory of the judgment of the nations, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory and all his holy angels with him, Jesus specifically targeted the way people treat each other across governments, societies, and institutions in addition to individuals. The messages of people like Martin Luther King Jr. challenge us all to listen to our own better angels, to be thoughtful about our unseen environment, and to treat everybody as spiritual beings, like Christ, or like angels, or like divinely created souls whose bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, amen.